I guess I'm up. Oh, don't clap yet. You didn't hear it. Got some good news. My son David is speaking this morning. Unfortunately, it's not here. So. This all came about when the other thing is everyone gives you advice. And Gary told me before I go up, if you get nervous or anything, he says, what we do in the Marine Corps, you just punch yourself in the stomach and grin. And that'll get you through it. So if you see me up here punch myself in the stomach or knocking my head against the stage, it's his fault. Okay. I might need it. If I pass out, these are the notes. Someone grab them and go on with it. This all started when John was here and late one morning. And they said, what are we going to do if that ever happens when the pastor doesn't show up? So we said, well, we should all prepare a lesson and keep it in the back of our Bible and have it ready. All the elders should be ready at any time to speak. So good thing we didn't pick on Jerry today because he didn't make it. But since I'm going off the elder board, I think Sean thought, well, you may as well use yours. You're not going to be an elder anymore. So blow the dust off of it and get it out there. So that's how this message came about. This is just something that was on my mind. I woke up one day thinking about it, and I had to write some things down because it was probably 2 or 3 months after that I actually wrote anything down and got anything ready. But it's always this question, why do we go to church, or why we go to church? Of course, you know, I'm talking to the wrong group here because you're at church. What we need to talk to is the people who aren't here at church. But you might want to jot down some of these Bible verses and all that I use, so when the subject comes up to someone that says, I can be a Christian, I can be at home, and I can be just as Christian as you are by being at home instead of going to church. Well, this might answer some of it today, hopefully. I'll just skip some of that. I have that thing here. Yeah, that was wrong. That was that. There we go. Worship. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. And since we have a great high priest, we need to draw near, we need to hold fast, and we need to consider his greatness. And in the light of what Jesus has done for you and encourages us, you're to have the confidence to enter into the holy place through Jesus' blood. You're to draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, with a clean conscience and pure bodies, and hold fast to their confession without wavering. Not forsake assembly together for others, together with others, believers. Encourage one another as they see the day of salvation draw near. It would have helped if I'd have went to the next screen there, I think, where I missed one. No, I don't. Okay. I printed that one really little. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us not be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, for not staying away from worship meetings as some habitually do, but encourage each other and all the more as you see the day draw near. But that's your call to worship. That's your call to our great God. And that's why we come. Which brings me to the next slide. Some things out of order here. Yeah, we're missing some, but I'll get by it. Okay. Worship. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. For the Lord is great, is a great God, a great king above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hands, and the mountain peaks are his. That's Psalms 95, 1 through 7 is where I'm reading. Rock of salvation. It's a metaphor expressing the security and the safety described, the steadfast character of God. The Lord is a great God, celebrates the Lord's kingship, the king above all gods. It doesn't just mean gods. It doesn't imply that there's other gods. It implies all the angels in heaven and everything about God, all the mighty ones. And it's creation and are allowed to access the God in heaven. They surround his throne to praise and worship him. It's his creation. That's all we're doing with worship. We're acknowledging his greatness and we're acknowledging that creation. And we're bowing down and we're worshiping our Lord for that great creation. And he deserves that. Okay. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. We identify our God, the one who created heaven and earth and created the sea and the mountains and created all of humanity, both the cosmos and humanity, kneel before their creator. That's the basic part of worship. That's what we're doing. And that's the start of our service, you know, is worship. The second thing is prayer, united in prayer. And that comes from Acts 1, 12 through 14. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mountain called Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they arrived, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these were continually in prayer along with the women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. This was right after the resurrection. And they returned as a group, and he went deep in prayer, and he went deep in prayer for hours and days for the resurrection, the seeing the resurrection of Mary's son Jesus Christ and of their brother Jesus Christ. Then in Matthew 18:19-20, again I assure you, if two of you are on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done, for you are my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. Now, this doesn't mean it's a candy store. This doesn't mean two or three of us get together and pray for Brian to get a new car. What this means is mostly the preceding part of the Bible here was, the restoration. Matthew 18 is about restoration. So in this, the prayer is about a brother who is failing, a brother who is sinning, and you get together and you pray for that person to come back into the fold, to come back in and be one and be part of the group. And that's where your prayers of two or three together, when you gather together, that's where you have power and that's where you have meaning and that's where God listens to you. So that's very important of why you're coming to church. You're coming for prayer. Communion. Luke 22:14-19. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. Then he said to them, I have fervently desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I tell you, from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, and said, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is the Passover meal. This is the fourth and fifth cup. This is the last cup. When they went around, they had the lamb, they had the bread. But it was important, the breaking of the bread, that the breaking of the bread was just like the remembrance of Jesus' body being broken on the cross. Some people pick out this, I will not drink of the vine. That's what some churches preach, that you shouldn't drink wine until the day of the new kingdom. I don't see that at all. I see it as it's all the remembrance. Every time you sit down for communion, it's the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what he did for us, his blood shed for us, his body broken for us. And he calls us to take that remembrance. That blood is the new covenant. When you look in the Bible and it gives the covenants, the old covenants, that is the new covenant. Jesus Christ's blood shed for your sins. That is the gospel. That's what he came to this world for. Do you do that at home? Do you have a communion service at home? No, we don't celebrate communion at home. That's why you come to church. That's why it's an important part right here at church. That's why we come to church. Discipleship. 2 Timothy 2:2. Well, 1 and 2. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You know, I read my study Bible, and in the footnotes, there's very little to say about that. Who taught me that? It was Sean. That's the most important, that's the most pivotal part in the Bible, is us coming and learning from Jesus Christ. Sean learning from Jesus Christ. Me. Hit me over the head or something, guy. Me learning from Sean, hopefully someone learning from me and passing it on. That's how Christianity works. That's what we're here for. That's why you have a church. That's why you have a church building. If you could do it from home, if you could do it from out in the field, we'd be doing it from home or out in the field. You have everything that you need here, and there's a reason for that. We're in the frozen northeast of America. We can't stand outside in the winter, and it's uncomfortable actually in the summer also. So don't complain that people have a church building or you go to church and say they didn't have church back in the old days. Well, yeah, they did. They met in the upper room. They met in barns. They met in houses. It was all church. Church isn't the building. Church is the gathering of the people. Okay. Now I got a real long thing here that I'm going to try to just go off the fly one that I wrote out, but I don't want to read word for word. But this church, this is our school. This is our high school. This is where you come to learn. That's why you have the church. But this church isn't the end of your being a Christian. This isn't your final goal. I want to be a good person, and I want to go to church, and next year I'm going to start Sunday school. This is the beginning. This is where you learn. This is where you learn the Bible. This is where you learn the gospel so you can go out into the world and share it with someone else. That's what Christianity is. That's what it's all about. Train yourselves. Read your own Bible. Learn. Come here. If you have questions, get in a group. Learn with other people. Learn from Sean. But that's where discipleship comes from, is knowing. If you don't know, you can't share. I have it written down, but I'll go on the fly here. Yeah, living dangerously. Get away from them notes. What if someone right now had a heart attack? We'd say, is there a doctor in the house? Well, since we know everyone, we know there's no doctor in the house. Is there anyone here that knows CPR? Unfortunately, I think I had the course 35 times. I've done CPR at least 3 times, and all 3 of them died, so I'm not your first pick. But what do you need? You need to have the training. You need to have the knowledge. And you need to have the willingness to do it. Actually, last time I did it was right after I had my knee surgery, and I was trying to kneel down on one leg and keep my knee up in the air because it hurt, and did CPR, and yeah, didn't work out well. There was other issues with that, but we won't go into that now. But it's just like the gospel. What if a family member, someone you work with, someone you go to school with, your neighbor, someone you care about, or a total stranger needs the gospel, doesn't know it, or it's just torn down. They're beaten down in health, money, problems, issues of whatever. We need to be that person that knows the CPR. We need to know the gospel. You need the training. You need the knowledge. You need the willingness to spread that gospel. That's what we're here for. That's why we come every week. Not so we can check off a box or get a star that we were here, but to learn something and be prepared to share it to the next person. Let's see, how'd I do? Adult Sunday school. I must miss that. I teach adult Sunday school. Started off, I was a real hack at it. Still are, yeah? Okay. Didn't have a teacher. It was either we don't have a Sunday school class or you start digging into the Bible and learn and teach. I didn't expect to be here. Didn't expect to be there. But it came down to I'm the guy at the plate and I'm going to swing the bat, which doesn't have anything to do with CPR or gospel, but I threw that in there. But what we do, we're taking right now Matthew for 6 months now, taking Matthew apart chapter by chapter, paragraph by paragraph, sometimes verse by verse. And it's not to memorize it, it's to know the meaning behind it of what it says. Matthew is a very important part for you to know the gospel. You got to know the gospels. I can stand here and have all these notes and have all these slides and whatever. Our job as Christians is to know the gospel, which is the good news, and be able to spread it to someone else. The discipleship. See, everyone's awake today. Sorry about that. Okay. You're almost done this suffering. Not too much yet. Parable of the lost sheep. Matthew 18, 10 through 14. See, you don't look down on one another, on one of these little ones, because I tell you that in heaven, their angels continually view the face of my Father in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save the lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, I assure you, he rejoices over that sheep more than the other 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that one of these little ones perish. The start of this at 10, what he's talking about is children and how the Lord feels about children and how highly he feels of them and how they are chosen. And automatically, when the rapture occurs, the children are the first to go because they haven't sinned. They're innocent. And we need to keep that innocence, but we need to build them. We need to train them. We need to teach them. And he says their little faces are looking right upon his Father. They're already there and they're right there and they have access to God and they're right there with God. And we as adults, we have to learn, we have to fight, and we have to have the grace to get there. And you're only going to do that through studying, through being here and part of the body. The parable of the sheep, I got a lot of notes here too. See, this is the reading, and then this is my notes. But Fry said, don't go by the notes. So I won't go by the notes. I looked up a lot. Huh? Only the one I ask you to do. Yeah. The parable of the lost sheep. I looked in the interweb, looked on my phone. I learned a lot about sheep. I'm a firefighter. I'm not a sheep herder. But there's other sermons that I've heard before, and stuff makes sense. What they're telling you here is about the lost sheep, or what this verse tells you is about the lost sheep and going out and hunting for that lost one. And that has to do a lot with the prodigal son and that sort of thing in the Bible. But the sheep, and I've heard at the other church that I attended, I heard it here, sheep do strange things. They're not all that smart. They're not all that fast. They're not all that tough. So some sheep, they round up and they put the weak sheep in the middle, and the pregnant sheep and the mama sheeps and the sheep they want to protect are in the middle, and the other sheep are on the outside and they circle up. And that's their protection. That's all they have. So for one, that's why they need a shepherd. They need someone to protect them because they're defenseless. They're not all, like I said, not all that smart, not all that fast, not all that tough. There are some sheep though that group up in a circle and face in. This is one of the things I learned from a pastor. I don't know which one. And when the predator comes up, they kick at it, and they kick and kick, and that's their defense mode. As a group, you might have 60 sheep there, and they're round up in a circle, and they're kicking to protect each other. I had something. No. Just whether I wanted to say or how I wanted to say it, because it's not really in the notes. I did have one thing, though, is the musk ox came up. Because it said about protective circles, I was reading. The musk ox rounds up in a circle when they feel threatened, and as the predator comes near the circle, they lunge out at it and try to spear them with their horns or injure the predator. And as the predator circles around, different ones of these oxes lunge out at them. There's also some of the rams and some of the goats do similar things where they point out, some sheep point in and try to kick. This brings me to the devil. I might be getting ahead of myself. I am. The lost sheep isn't the prodigal son that's going out, and they're going out and finding that lost sheep and coming back, and we're happier with that lost sheep than the other sheep. That loose sheep out there alone is more vulnerable. He's the one the devil can get easiest. He's the sick one. He's the one wandering around. He's the one going off, I'm eating grass, and leaves the group. Dummy, don't leave the group. Get back with the group. That's where we circle up, and you can maybe not be the one that's eaten by the bear or by the wolf. That's why we come to church. That's another reason you come to church, to strengthen one another, to be each other's defense. When someone has a problem, let's get together and we're going to pray together. Can you do that at home? Some can, some can't. We can't gather up two or more. We can only gather up two at home. So come to church, get in the fold, get in that protective circle, fight the devil. That's what the sheep are for. Amen. The other thing I read about sheep, of course, the atheists are in there. They write, why do these Christians keep on talking about the sheep? Why do they keep on talking about the shepherd? They must think they're the shepherd, because the shepherd will take the sheep and he trims them and he takes their wool. And when he's hungry, he'll take one and slaughter it and eat it. And they want you to think being a Christian is bad, because you're just a sheep, because you're just going to be trimmed up and be Sunday meal. It's the devil trying to fool you. As a Christian, yeah, I'll be a sheep. If I got to surround up and there's 80 of us in a circle and I got to be the one eaten by the bear, then I did my job. I was part of that circle and someone had to die. And if it was me, then I'm with my Lord and Savior, because I did his work. I did that day what he needed me there to do. Jesus Christ was that little lamb. He was the perfect one. He was the smallest, the whitest, the purest. And he took all of our sins on himself. And he died on the cross for our sins. He took our sins and took them from us so we could have the grace of God. So he can sit on the right hand of God the Father. And when Gary comes through the gates, he says, yeah, I know him. I took his sins. Bring him in. He sees Fry. Yep, I know Fry. I took his sins. He's okay. Bring him in. I know Ron. I took his sins. Come on in. That's what Jesus Christ is about. I have a page here. It says conclusion, but I think that might be the conclusion. Be serious. Be alert. Your adversary, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for anyone who he can devour. Resist him and be firm in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being experienced by your fellow believers throughout the world. Your fellow believers throughout the world, where are they at? They're in church. I got 35 references on a little pink piece of tablet paper where it says the church of Corinth, the church of this, the church of that, even up in the Revelations, the church. There wouldn't be that many references to the church and letters written to the church if it wasn't important for you to be in a church, for you to be in the body and be in the body of Christ at church. That's why we go to church. Now, I don't know if God wanted me to speak that he had one person in mind hear this message today, or I don't know if he had in mind for all of you to hear it. God got me up 3 months ago and gave me a message in the morning. I had to jot things down. He gave me the message. For weeks now, he's been sending me stuff, mostly in the morning. Sean tells me, write stuff like that down. It means something. All that stuff about training and all. I even wrote this down from the National Fire Academy. Train like your life depends on it. 42 years as a firefighter. How many years as a Christian? Train like your life depends on it. Doesn't matter what the point or what the conclusion of this sermon is. It's go to church, listen, learn, read your own Bible. Read my own Bible page by page, cover to cover, has meant more to me in the last 2 years than anything else. It's changed my life. It'll change your life. In fact, it's New Year's. It's a New Year's resolution. Set out, go back and get one of those daily breads and start with that daily reading of the Bible, two or three Old Testament readings a day and a New Testament reading each day, and it'll change your life. 10 years ago, if someone told me I'd be standing up here today giving a sermon or speaking, yeah, I didn't do the best, I don't think. There's people that know more. There's people who can give a better speech. There's people that don't prowl around back and forth to talk or jiggle in their pockets. But I was the guy. I was the guy up at the plate today, and I took a swing at it. And thank God he was on my shoulder to help me. Amen.
Thank you for that word, Brian. Very powerful, very important to talk about why we are here. And I've seen the work of God through this body in my family's life, in my little kids' lives. And I know you've all seen it too in your lives. And because of God's work in us, we have freedom. Freedom to not be afraid and freedom to praise him. So if you all would stand and join with me as we sing,